Hello, this is DB Richards from the 2300 Wrestling Podcast, and this season is dedicated to Bill Pellerino. Rest in peace, my friend. Welcome, everybody, to the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, DB Richards, alongside my sweetie referee, Dave Keener.
All-time classic.
Hey, Brian, Dave's not here today.
I know, he's not.
And he has some family issues.
But we had a fantastic trip this weekend.
Yeah, we went all the way down to a state that I don't want to go back, but I will.
It's Virginia, and we went to Shingotee, Virginia for Eastern Shore Pro Wrestling, yeah. Which we are now the official podcast for ESPW.
That's kind of cool. That was really cool. I had fun. It was my first since my surgery, so...
Exactly.
This is my first interview back from the surgery, too.
And if anybody wants to check them out, you can check them out on their website, www.easternshoreprowrestling.com.
So who do we have on today?
So we have a gentleman, goes by the name of Firework. He's a musician, an actor, and he's the current PPW TV champion, the World of Hurt heavyweight champion, the NYCW heavyweight champion, and Fight Club champion, Mr. Fox Vineyard.
My gosh.
Oh my God. Can't even pronounce my name. You can cash at me $5 for that. Just
all right. I'll send through Venmo or Cash App. So.
Oh my gosh.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to my podcast. Nice to have you guys here.
Oh. Thank you. Oh, wait,
thank you.
We're on your podcast now?
We're on his podcast?
Hey, what's going on here?
I'm in a multiverse here.
Oh, that's so great. So, we're the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. We named it after the ECW Arena in Philly because it's home sweet home to me. So, have you ever been there?
I have been there many a time. I was there. I did a lot of security and television security work in my time at Ring of Honor there. However, I did compete for Impact Wrestling at a television taping against Madman Fulton 2 years ago.
Oh, that's
two years ago? Maybe 3 years ago. I don't know.
Was it before COVID or after COVID?
It was right before.
Okay, then.
I assume 2019.
So, I love to ask this question to help because I do have fans that are not wrestling fans and they love listening to the show. I listened to your one episode. So, I like to ask this one question on your training, your background in the beginning of your career. Like, how did you start?
You're asking how everything started?
Yeah, how did you start? Who trained you? All that cool stuff. And then we'll have fun.
Well, you know, the typical starting wrestling in your backyard with your friends after school, sometimes in the hallway. But I was trained at Do or Die Academy by one J.P. Black. He was trained by Tony DeVito. So I'm in the House of DeVito family, if that's what you want to call. Yeah, J.P. Black trained me in 2006. And then, you know, I trained for about a year. And then, maybe like 9 months to a year. And then real life happened. Couldn't do anything. And then 3 years later, another opportunity came up where I could work out and dust off the old ring rust, got back in the ring, and then I debuted 3 months later in July 18th, 2009, and I've been going ever since.
Tony's a good friend of our podcast. We went, I brought him up from Florida to Hamburg in Pennsylvania to do autographs with E.T. Loke. So it was kind of fun bringing Tony up here and having some fun. He was my season premiere this year. I'm a big fan of DeVito.
Yeah, him, E.T. Loke, really I'm close with him.
Yeah, they're like family to Dave Keener. His brothers, Mike Keener, are all good friends,
Yeah, it's a good house over there.
What was the best advice you got during your career in wrestling? Who gave you the best advice for your career?
For me?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm still waiting on like that. Here's that advice. Here's that going to get you to the next level or whatever. But mainly it's just the things that you always learn from day one. You know, keep your mouth shut. Keep your ears open. Don't talk back. Oop. No, yeah. But you know, just like be respectful to stuff and like be open to ideas. That's a lot of problem with the cat today. They're nobody's open to an idea. Or if you try to help them, they get like kind of buttered about it. And like, no, they're like set on their ways. But hey, you know, sometimes you just gotta go with the flow. But the best advice is always be open to things, like, you know, because what you are working on, like, I could be Firework Fox Jr. all day every day, and then tomorrow Vince McMahon calls me and says I want you to be Bud Light Larry, you know what I mean?
I always hear a lot of advice. I get some of them saying don't be 12, always, like you said, shut up and listen, and good advice is, but waiting for that next one, me for the podcast. It's like if you don't want to keep on going, don't do it. You know what I mean? If you're going to, like, buy the equipment and not make a podcast, then don't do it. It's a lot of work, a lot of editing.
You can't half-ass it. Like, if you're going to, basically, like, it's like the advice would be, or like some say, I mean, I kind of say it to myself, really. Like, if you're going to do it, do it. You know, don't half-ass it. If you're going to, like me, when I sidebar to, like, with my music, like, am I going to try to write some music and make a band and, like, do this stuff? Or am I just going to, like, whatever. No, I'm going to do it. So I bought, you know, I dropped a couple grand on some equipment and, like, built myself a studio so I could do it. And then I did it. And now I'm doing it. You know what I mean? So I'm just sitting with a bunch of equipment looking at me like, hey, remember when we could have did something?
And that's what I did. I bought all the equipment. I bought the mics. I didn't buy the computer. Somebody donated it to me. Thank you to Brian. Right. Not this Brian, but an old Brian. And I paid like $800 for this mixer. Yeah, you know, all the headphones. And then we travel with the equipment to different shows. And we try to do little interviews with people when we're at shows. Or right now, taking Connect Four with wrestlers and doing like little small questions.
I don't need to have the equipment. Oops, shit, I'm a stressful. They need to have the equipment. You need to have the drive. You know, like, you guys are sitting there in your car packing your gear. Like, we're going to talk to people. Even if they don't want to talk to us, we're going to set up. Because you know what? Someone sees a microphone and a setup thing, like, what's going on over here?
Yes.
They're going to walk. Hey, can we talk to you? Yeah, you want to get. Yeah, because your platform is, you're trying to get Fox Vineyard out there right now. As I'm trying to get 2300 podcasts out there right now. So you know what I mean? It's that symbiotic synergy we got going on.
Yeah.
You just got to do it. You know?
It's the best way to network, so.
It's always the best way to network. Like, now I've been doing the Connect Four with wrestlers. I just did one with Mr. Uala, if you know Mr. Uala. Delaware, yeah. Independent wrestler. Good guy. I talk to him all the time. We just did Connect Four, and it was fun, you know what I mean? But people were coming over and going, what is this? Why are they playing Connect Four? And then, like, I did that. This is what I'm doing now to make my YouTube page a little bit bigger, and I'm here to promote you. I'm okay. I don't care if I get over. I want to get you over. I want people to start watching the stuff, and then people are going to watch it. They're going to watch my stuff.
Wrestling stuff. Like, you could talk about, oh, man, did you see this movie? Did you see this show? Did you like this book I read? You know what I mean? Like, it expands everywhere. It doesn't have to just be one cone, one zone.
Oh, yeah. Like, yesterday I asked, what is the TV show you're streaming? And Mr. Royal, I was like, Blacklist. And that's freaking awesome. You know what I mean? It's a good show. I'm not all the way into the first season yet. I'm watching it slowly. But I'm asking, like, certain questions and see what people will say.
People like talking.
My throat is still messed up from the breathing tube. So it's like, this is fun. So do you have any pet peeves in the business? I got tons.
I don't know if you have time for all those. But, yeah, I mean, I do. But then, like, people are going to listen and be like, oh, he's just a bitter guy. No, I just know, because the pet peeves are things that I've done, and now I'm like, oh, man, I never had anyone to kind of like, hey man, don't do that shit, you know. But like, pet peeves me are, I'll go with things that you can't control them. Like, my pet peeves are somebody who has a look, has talent, and they don't care. They're just there to be like, yo, I wrestle them once a month, and it's like, okay, which is fine. If that's your goal, to be a wrestler once a month, then you've completed your goal. You have accomplished your goal. All the power to you. However, tell that somebody, so they're not in the ring with you, and you're like, yo, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to try to get this in, I want to get this footage for this, and they're like, nah, you know. So one of my pet peeves is kind of like someone who's in the ring with you who doesn't have the same passion. So then, like, it's hard to, like, work a match together because one person's trying to do, not like move wise, but like, let me tell a story here, let me try this, and they're like, oh, I want to do a 450 onto the floor. Why? You know,
like,
that is where you see Lucha Gear when they're a couple years in the business. I was there, and people who say this business. I used to Elu Fest when you first start. That's the rule. You get 1 year of Elucha gear. That's it, guys. I've been there. I sold it. Some other kid's wearing it now for his first year. Move on.
My pet peeve, New Jersey H2O. It was not H2O. It's in their building. The referee started counting at the wrestler's feet. And I screamed, that's not his shoulders. And he looked at me. He told me to shut up. I'm like, come on, dude. Do your job.
Those are like, if you want to go with referee pet peeves, counting the feet, not checking the shoulders, not tucking their shirt in.
Correct.
You know, like, not wearing black pants. Not looking like they're an official of a sport. Because any referee listening, you are an official of a sport. Be that official or I will rock you. I don't care about the strike. Find me my $25,000, brother. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, up your shirt, then.
Yes. But Dave gets screamed at by his brother every time he wrestles. If he's there. If Dave does something wrong, Mike says something to him. So Dave learned from his brother. So, and then we watch the new kids coming up and they're refereeing. Dave gets so mad. I watch him run in the back. He's like, dude, we're doing commentating. Where are you going? So,
but there are some really good referees out there, and I'm just like, wow, you guys, why aren't you on television? You know?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
and that's because they tuck their insurance in.
I don't know why half of them are not on television. I enjoy like Nick Shin's one of them. Becky Phillips is another one. Mike Heenan.
Yeah, Becky. I met Becky years ago. She's amazing.
Oh yeah.
And she's so professional looking, and it's like, okay, she is an official. Like you can look at her and be like, okay, this woman has authority. You know, I mean, plus legit, she'll beat you up.
But like, I met her for the first time down in Delaware, and I'm like, you're Becky Phillips, and she's like, yes, I am. I was like, thank you for doing my podcast. I'm the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. And then she's like, oh, it's great to meet you, and it was kind of cool.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Like yesterday, the wrestling show, one of the referees came up to me. He's like, you're Dave from 2300. And I'm like, yes, I am. He's like, it was great meeting you. I felt bad because like I had to run back and do commentating. We'll talk later, and I didn't get. Maybe next
time. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you gotta hit that Irish goodbye. You got shit to do. You gotta go right now.
I didn't have to go anywhere. I'm not allowed to pick up anything till my doctor says I can.
There you go.
So I'm looking at your social media account, and I do see a picture that you were on AEW Dark. So how did that feel being on AEW and wrestling against Brian Cage?
Yeah, I've done AEW Dark twice now, and I've been to a multitude of the shows. Well, because when I do it, I do the loop. Like I'm with, they do like the four shows at a time when they were filming it. But yeah, so when that came about, you know, you have to do what you got to do to get your foot in there. It's wrestling, so you got to do the wrestling stuff. And then I got there, and it was like 3 days I was there, or 4 days, and I was like, okay, first 2 days I wasn't on, and I was like, I was kind of mad. Not mad, it's the wrong word. I was kind of like upset, like, oh man, because what my plan was to drive. I drove down from, so I sat in the car for 21 hours, drove down, or 16 hours, whatever it is. So I drove down, and I was like, all right, cool, I'll be in Orlando. I got an Airbnb, got an Airbnb, chilled out, didn't get on the show, got to be in the crowd, so I got to sit there and watch front row, because I never got to go to like a Nitro or anything, so this was awesome to be in a front row seat watching Kenny Omega and Jungle Boy go at it. Like, that was awesome. And get paid for it. But like, and then like I was supposed to like do nothing and then go see my brother who was in Orlando, spend 2 days with him, and then go back to do other days. So I got back, and then on a Tuesday, go back to the sheet, wait, everyone's waiting around for that. Oh man, when they gonna start writing the names on the board? And then it said Fakmir Brian Cage, and I was like, oh boy, you know.
Did
and then
call,
I was like,
did you call anybody to tell them like they don't going to be on Dark?
When I filmed it, it was at Daly's place, and I called my trainer JP, and I was like, Brian, I text him and I said, Brian Cage, Fox Mania. He's like, no shit. And I was like, yeah, man. But like, it was cool to be like, hey, I'm on AEW Dark and I'm wrestling one of their champions, you know? But when I filmed it, it was aired an extra week later.
Okay.
So like, that week last year was awesome because it aired July 13th or something like that, July 14th around that time. So like, July 10th, I was down in Pennsylvania filming a movie for like 3 days. And then my birthday was on that Saturday. And then I get home and then AEW, and then Dark Air. So it was like 4 days of like filming a movie, feeling awesome for like 4 days on set, and then getting home or having my birthday, enjoying that with some family and friends, and then watched AEW Dark. And then I was like, oh man, they didn't put a graphic out. It's not going to air. No one's going to see me. It's not going to happen. And then 7:30 in the morning, I get the notification. I'm like, oh man, I'm at a shoot job throwing tires around. And I'm like, yo, hold on. I had to retweet everything. And then my phone was just blowing up all day, and that was awesome. And then the second time I was down there, I was I wrestled the Dark Order in a 6-man. Both experiences were awesome because I had Cole Cabana was my agent, who I'm gonna fight on Saturday. So Cole, if you're listening, gonna knock you down, and yeah. But like, Jerry Lynn came up to me after and was like, you were really, really good. You were positioning, your timing, your selling, like, you know, really like built me up. Like, oh. And it made me feel good, like, oh, maybe I can do that, huh? Yeah. You know? But it was awesome. And hopefully I can get back soon, but who knows? There's 10,000 million people going, showing up, doing all this, you know?
It's kind of, get in when you... There's so many wrestlers. I said this the other day. It's so many wrestlers and not a lot of companies. So everybody's going to each company, so it's so hard to get booked. The ones want to do it right, don't do it anymore. Let the ones that want to go out there and have fun.
I always say it's going to take that one person to be like, this dude right here, we want. Let's push him to the moon. Even if it's not doing the firework character, even if it's whatever, like, let's go. I mean, ISPW right now, kind of happening with me. He saw me when I just showed him to a show to help out. He liked that. He liked my look. And then he's put me on some shows, and he really wants to see what Fox Vineyard can do. And I want to see what Fox Vineyard can do, to be honest.
So you were talking about acting. So what was the movie you were working on?
I don't even know the name, because it's like under a working title.
Oh, okay. You know? One of those.
So the working title was like, I don't even know, South something. I don't know. The story is, it's a coming of age story where one of the homies is like trying to get his band to get, you know, a contract, and they enter a battle of the band. And my character, my role was the battle of the band's MC. Like, they entered the, so you go, say you go to a website and it's like, how to use Fox character. It's like Fox Vineyards battle the bands and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So yeah. I played like the logo is like a big Viking, and I played like this Viking MC, and like the judges were dressed as like Egyptian or whatever Viking, you know, type, not Egyptian, but they had robes and stuff.
Okay.
So it was like a cool, that was the gimmick of the battle of the band story and the thing. So then my role was, I got into be the battle of the band. I got to be the MC, and it was cool because I was only on set for 2 days, but they paid me to be there for 4 days to like actually shoot stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, cool. Hung out in a hotel. I got to, you know, get some food, see a new town. But yeah, like it was funny because the director, Reed, he's awesome. Him and his brother wrote it. They're like the musicians and stuff and all this stuff. And he was like, all right, this first day, it's just going to be you, the other actor, the band, and then us production. It's going to be really easy because, you know, there's not like a crowd here. But tomorrow we're going to have like 150, 200 extras to be the crowd, because we're going to do the same scene, but we're going to do it from different angles so we have a crowd. And I was like, and so I'm like learning how movies work. You know, I'm like, oh shit, like you're doing 2 days, you know? And then I go, all right, man. So I did the first one, and I didn't know that, like in movies, you don't stop. You just keep going. Even if you mess up, you just keep going and just start your dialogue over. I messed up my line, and I was like, hold on, guys, sorry. I walked back. They're like, no, just keep going. So I got nervous for a second, and then I just did it. And it came out pretty good. And then the next day, he's like, all right, you're going to be really nervous for the crowd. I said, dude, you don't know who I am right now, do you? I mean, you know what Fox Vit does, man. And so it was cool because I had like a 5-minute stand-up that of me just, I was like, hey, can I like hype the crowd up so they're like really into the scene? He's like, yeah, just take the mic and go ahead. I said, give me a live mic. Okay. So I had the live, so I just hyped my crowd up. Like, yo, you guys here, you guys all excited? We're doing this, we're doing that, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, we filmed the scene, and the one scene, I was, like, asking, like, are you ready for me to introduce the band? You're, like, kind of like Triple H, you know, are you ready?
Yeah.
And they didn't, like, get super loud. They clapped and cheered, and I broke. I was, like, uh-oh, this wasn't how I wanted. So I just snapped, and I was, like, what? I said, are you ready for? And I went, you know, ham on it, and they legit popped. And I was, like, okay. And, like, it made the scene better because I was feeling, like, I didn't get the crowd how I know I could, or maybe the extras are shy, like, hey, are we supposed to be loud? Are we, you know, as an extra, I've been there, like, well, are we supposed to do this? I don't know. So, and they really jumped up, and I was like, yeah, let's go. And it was like, well, that was pretty cool for that movie anyway. And then I did like some other stuff too.
That's how I feel with when I started working for IWA Vintage in Jersey, and I didn't know what they wanted me to do, so they just wanted me to commentate, and I'm like standing there, I'm like, what, dude, what do you think? Do they want me to say anything? So I was nervous, but Dave Adams helped me out and moved me along and helped me just have be myself and be like a crazy
heel. Yeah, because you don't want to mess up and get like, hey man, all we really wanted you to do was this and that, and you kind of went the other way, so we're probably just going to mess the part way. You don't want to get that talk, you know?
Oh yeah, but like,
but then you get the classic line of, hey man, you just think to yourself, I know this could work, I'll ask for forgiveness later.
Oh, yeah.
There you go, go
and
for it.
I did all this stuff, and I enjoy working with David Adams every time when he's in New Jersey with me and for IWA, and now doing this Virginia thing, and I'm having fun doing it. He just told me, you do my cancel culture shit and have fun.
Cancel culture is the stupidest thing ever to happen to the earth.
Oh, it is. That's why I use it. I cancel people that I want to cancel now, because I get canceled all the time on Facebook. So that's how I feel.
I was going to make a t-shirt for myself and just put renewed.
I know he's not here, but this is one of his favorite questions to ask. How did we get there? Do you think wrestling doesn't have any storylines anymore?
Honestly, I don't really watch wrestling.
Okay.
As much as I want, because when, like, I have to do a shoot job, I got to pay bills too, you know, wrestling's not, I mean, wrestling pays bills, but not as often as I like them to. Not like they used to. So I'm doing, I work, you know, 60 hours a week, 50 hours a week, depending, and then I'm on the road. My only only day off is Sundays, and I don't do any Sundays, you know? I feel, even then, I feel shitty not going to the gym to do anything. But, like, so I'll catch up on stories. Like, I mean, I was watching, like, Starrcade 85 yesterday. Like, that's what I'm watching. Okay. But, like, storylines in wrestling, yes, they have good ones. Like, CM Punk MJF one was really good because they let it marinate. They let it take time. Yes. But I think the problem isn't the storyline in wrestling. I think it's the way they are done. Like, you could have an awesome storyline, but just how it's done, like, the way that the acting is and the way that they're promoting, you know what I'm saying? Like, if there's a storyline with, like, Becky Lynch is super mad at Asuka because she popped her tire, and then it's like, hey, I didn't know that you even drove a car, you know? And it's like, it's cheesy. But if it's like, yo, I didn't like your car, so I slashed your tires because I didn't want you to get to where you were going to go to face me. You know what I mean? Like, if it was, like, a different type of mode, like, especially WWE, like, y'all motherfuckers are actors. Like, it says it on the contract. Yeah. Like, I think you can have the cheesiest storyline, but you change the acting a little bit and the line, and so it's not so force-fed down your face. I think any storyline can work. But, like, right now, like, Danhausen and Hook, that's, like, a kind of a storyline going. And I'm a big fan of Hook, just because, like, he is exactly what they keep saying. Like, he's the handsome, quiet loner who will fight, you know what I mean? I'm watching, like, oh, man, that was me when I was in, like, high school. I was cool. I had hair. but like, they're doing it pretty well, and it's not, I mean, Danhausen's kind of cheesy, but that's what wrestling is. You need, like Fox News is a fucking cheesy character. So being a cheesy character and then putting some serious notes on it, it's making it work. You know what I'm saying?
Like, when I'm at IWA Vintage, they let me do the take control of the whole promo stuff. So I let everybody ad lib everything. This is what I want. Just ad lib. And if I like it, I'm going to say, yeah, I like it. Honestly, everybody does well. And
that's one of the things, like, how you're saying, like, you will tell them, hey, if you don't like it, you're going to switch it.
Yeah.
This literally happened 2 days ago. I was at training on Friday, and I'm just, you know, people are in the ring, so I had them do a drill, and then I got out of the ring, and I see one of the homies who came to, like, work out and stuff, cutting a promo, and the one guy just filmed it, and I, like, watched it, and I was like, hey, man, that was your promo? Yeah. And it was just, like, one take, and the kid just had the phone pointed at him, and he was just yelling the promo. And I said, dude, I go, hey, man, I just want to tell you this as your friend. That promo was trash. It was horrible. Like, it's 2022. You have the technology in your hand right now to make a good video. The promos are, I don't think people in wrestling know that promos is, like, kind of short for promotion.
Yeah.
Like, you have to promote the match. You were just yelling and saying, if your promo, people need to watch it. I don't want to just watch somebody talking to their cell phone. That's why if you ever watch a Fox Vineyard promo, I try to make it, like, you know, I put, like, a little effect in there. I'll put, like, cool pop-up stuff. So it's something that you're, like, taking. I try not to go over a minute and a half, but if I do, it's, like, 2 minutes. So you're taking 2 minutes out of your time to, like, watch something that you're trying to sell yourself to get them. So I asked them, if, like, hey, man, do you mind if I produce you? It's like, yeah, what are you thinking for this promo? And I say exactly what you just said to me 2 seconds ago, bullet points, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I gave them bullet points that here's what you should say, here's your line. Like, Dusty Rhodes the Hard Times promo, right? You know, Dusty Rhodes Hard Times, you can look that up. CM Punk Pipe Bomb, you can look that up. And I said to the dude, I said, hey, man, base your promo around where are you? You're always wrestling. You're doing this, but your opponent is kind of just showing up whenever because he's a big fish in a small pond, and that's all he does is play wrestler here. Base your promo about where are you? So now you have a theme. Now you have something even if you don't have anything, whatever, you can go off the dome like, hey, I got to write something about where are you? Where is this my opponent? You know what I mean? So I filmed him, and I filmed it like I think he's dropping it tonight or whatever day. It's available now, whenever you listen to this. But like, I have it like zoomed in on the title because he's a champion, and I zoom out, and I have him punching a punching bag, and then I have him like doing all these cut, or I have the camera move, and then I did a cut, and then I like cut this, and I was like, you don't have to do one take and upload it, man. Like, you can cut if you mess up. Like, I watched this kid mess up, and then like some promoter dubbed in his voice over it. He's like, hey, the date May 11th, he's June 11th. You know, I was like, what are you doing? Just record it over.
That's horrible.
I don't think people like to have, they don't, I think it's just because people don't know. So anyone listening, if you need help with promos, holler at your boy. I will help. I may not be around your area to film it with you, but I'll definitely talk you through it and see what you can do.
I just want to add to what we were saying earlier for storylines. You got to have a build up to that storyline too. You just can't have a match where you just have two guys wrestling and there's no story behind it. It's like, why are you having this match?
Yeah.
There's got to be a build up to that match. And that goes right into what you're saying, doing promos, because that's going to help build the match.
And it's a good thing when I do my hacky sack challenge, stuff like that, too. talk to the camera guys, do the hacky sack, right, and do your promo.
Right, and even if it's just like, hey, we're just going to, say if it's an indie show, man, and it's like, hey, yeah, you're just going to face wrestler A and wrestler B, no story, just go out there, like, we're trying to get you on the show, here's a match. And if you know your match ahead of time, do a video. Make something of it, like, oh, I'm in the ring with wrestler B because I heard that he thinks he could do an arm drag better than me. But when I hit you with that arm drag, you're going to know it's the best, you know what I mean? Like, even if it's nothing, make a story, you know?
Definitely.
With TV, you think do it anyway, but like every match they say, oh, this is a storyline, it's just an opener. No, people forget that we're wrestling, it's a sport. Like, your match is a grudge match. Like, you want to fight this guy because you want to get your wins up, you want to get your numbers up, you want to be better. That's your story. You want to be better. People are always like, I want to steal the show, I'm gonna come out there, I'm gonna steal the show tonight, and you're gonna be blah blah blah. That's cool, man, but that just makes you seem like you don't want a win. You don't want the win, you just want to perform.
Exactly.
Like, I'm gonna steal the show because I'm amazing. I'm also going to get a W within 2 minutes because I want to watch Boy Meets World. I just bought on DVD. You know what I mean? Like, people are just like, I'm going to steal the show, man. Do a 50-minute barn burner. Okay, cool, but are you ever going to go for a pin? Like, you know, there's wins and losses. Like, the point of the match is to win. People forget, and that's where a storyline. You can, you know, get a pin. You can get a disqualification. Whatever's going to further the story. Yeah. You know, but I don't know.
Yep.
Man, you said Boy Meets World. That's one of my favorite shows.
Exactly.
Oh, Topanga.
All right, so our next question, named Table of Five. It's you and four other people around this table, and it can be anybody you want. So you have to choose four other people to join you at this table. It can be anybody you want, and it can talk about anything you want. Who would you
just
choose?
No, you can do one singer, one actor,
okay,
one wrestler, and maybe somebody famous, okay, like history famous.
If we're going with wrestlers, I would definitely have Bret and Hogan at a table.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I want to throw an actor in there, he goes by the name of Al. You may know him, Gordon Chumway. I would have Al. He's a real person to me.
Yes.
Somebody famous that's just like famous person.
Yeah, like a famous history guy, like maybe Abraham Lincoln or something. I don't know.
All right. I mean, yeah, I'll put Abraham because he was a vampire hunter apparently, but he also was a professional wrestler back in the day. So Abe Lincoln, I could talk to him about being, well, he was 6'5" and a monster, so he probably beat everybody up.
I'm guessing you're a big Elf fan.
Elf? I love Elf.
What was the Beach Boy song that he loved?
Who?
What was the Beach Boy song that he loved?
I can't hear you.
I said he loved the Beach Boy song, Help Me Rhonda. Remember that?
No.
Wait. Because his girlfriend was Rhonda.
Rhonda?
Yeah, Rhonda.
What was the beef with his friend?
Yeah, he loved the song from the Beach Boys. And it was Help Me Rhonda.
Yep, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few episodes that are pretty like heart-wrenching though. Like, gave up like being home to pick up the kid, his ride from Rhonda and his other friend.
Yeah.
And then that one Christmas episode, saddest episode on earth,
okay,
where like he like didn't want to get caught because he got like stuck by, he thought like the doctor thought he was a toy, and he's just sitting, and then he's with a terminally ill girl who's like not going to see like the end of the year.
Yeah.
And he comes to life for her, and then he just tells her all about her or whatever, and like she dies that day, and you're just like, what the Willie, you know?
Yeah, see, I like cheesy stuff. I love Alf. Alf was great, but I love the movie Mac and Me.
No, that movie's horrible.
Dude, it is horrible, but I love it.
Dude, the only reason to watch it is watch how horrible it is.
Come on, McDonald's bought that movie and paid for the whole thing, and that's why McDonald's is in that movie. You know what I mean? The dance scene and everything.
That's like Paul Rudd. He always plays that one clip with the kid going off the cliff in the wheelchair.
Yes. See, my brother is handicapped, so he loved that movie just because there was a handicapped character. But
it's like the worst E.T. ripoff.
Oh, yeah, but I still love that movie. I don't know why. I just watched it the other day doing a bonfire.
If you have Netflix, they have a Mystery Theater 3000.
Yes.
Where, like, the new just came out. They made fun of it, and it's so hilarious.
Oh, my gosh, that's what we were watching. I was ready to say that, and you said it. And, Gus, we're, like, connecting right now.
I just watched it go. It's hilarious. Like, oh, is this a Diet Coke?
Oh, yeah. We were watching, and like the one guy that was hanging out with, he never seen it before. He's like watching it, and he's like, what are we watching? Just watch it. It's so horrible, but great. Because I like
If you want to watch a horrible movie that's good, go on YouTube or Amazon Prime. It is called House Shark.
House Shark.
Dude, it's so good at that. I mean, it's so bad at it. But it's like, that storyline is good. The acting is good. It's just like an independent film. But it's not like a big budget or anything. Like the shark they made out of like plastic. And it's just awesome. It's the funniest thing.
I love that stuff, man. I love movies that you're like, What the hell is wrong?
Like, the basis of House Shark was there's a shark in the house.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Like, it starts off, you know, like how Scream started with, like, Drew Barrymore getting killed?
Yeah.
Spoilers. And then, like, so House Shark starts off with, like, a woman going to the bathroom, and then the shark pops out of the toilet and eats her. And they're like, oh, but they're trying to sell the house at the same time, so the other person gets killed, and he's stuck in the window, and they're like, oh, yeah, he just a House Shark ate him. He's hanging out.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to watch it. Next
and, like,
bonfire.
Every time, dude, it's so good. And every time, like, someone dies, the kid, like pays respect and gets a tattoo of the person on his back and then posts it on Instagram. He's like, yo, for the grip. It's so fucking...
Oh, my gosh. That's so great. What were people thinking when they wrote these movies?
Watch Trailer. You'll be like, this is horrible. I need to watch it now.
Yes. It's my plan. It's my plan. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to laugh at it. And it's going
to
be great.
The last 10 to 15 minutes took me out of it. But that was just because it was, like, too long. But, like, leading up to that, I was like, this is so good. I hope that the comedy horror movie that I was in, short film called Pizza Face Hill Delivery, like delivery, but Hill Delivery.
Yeah, I heard about that. Is it out?
I hope it's so good. Well, they're going to festivals. I know that next week they're premiering it at Hofstra School in Rhode Island.
Okay.
Or, I mean, in Long Island, not really.
I don't know where I heard that. I heard that name of the movie. I'm a big movie buff, so I read things everywhere. I know I heard it somewhere, but I don't know. It could be.
I mean, you probably do. I mean, I play the jock guy who has a punk rock girlfriend, so he beats up this guy who asked her out, and then the kid is a pizza delivery boy, delivers to a witch, and then finds a spell and turns and puts a spell on my character and turns him into a pizza monster.
Yeah.
So, and then me and my band, we wrote a song. My band is two people, so it's really me and a drummer.
Okay.
And I did everything. He played the drums, he killed it, and then I wrote the song, wrote the lyrics, wrote the guitar parts, all of it. And then I gave it to the director, he put it in the movie, and we made a trailer with it, and I'm hoping it's done next week, and then let's go to festivals and stuff. This other little flick I did got into the finals for Best Student Film last year, or this year, so I'm hoping we'll see what happens there. But yeah, when I was filming that movie, I'm like, I gotta make it as cool and funny as House Shark. I did some wrestling moves. I hit a gorilla press slam. I was like, hey, do you mind if we have this fight scene in here? Like, do this? He's like, what is it? I'm gonna gorilla press slam this kid. It was tiny. I said, I can get you up there, man. Just post for me.
Oh my gosh, that's so great.
That's crazy.
So,
three matches. All right. So, you have to choose three of your favorite matches of all time, and then you have to choose three of your own favorite matches you've been in.
Oh, great.
I know. It gets tough.
It gets tough, yeah.
All right. So, three of the matches of all time is, and you can watch them every, you can watch it all the time, right?
Yeah. No problem. All right.
The Rock and Hogan.
Okay.
WrestleMania. I can watch that every single day just for the crowd alone. The best part of that match is when Hogan's entrance and he rips his shirt as the strobe lights are going on and the crowd's going nuts. Brings a tear to my eye. With a tear in my eye! Second match, Super Brawl 3, Chris Benoit versus Cole Scorpio. This shit is amazing. It stands up to today's standards of the Ring of Honor AEW style of wrestling.
Yeah.
While doing old school wrestling stuff.
Out of everybody talking about this, that is the first one I heard new.
Exactly, yeah.
Everybody always talks about the original ones and that's awesome.
Have you ever watched that match, Super Bowl 3, with Benoit and Two Cold Scorpion?
Yeah, I did.
Yep.
That, just the story in that match was amazing because they had a 20-minute time limit, and the match ended with 5 seconds to spare. And it's so good. The first time I watched it, I said, rewind.
You gotta love, like, the craziest finishes and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it was like, the finish was just like a pin, like a normal pin.
Yeah, like, one of my favorite finishes was Big Show versus JBL in a cage. And JBL went through the ring, and he crawled out. And I love that. I don't know why, but I kept on watching it over and over again.
I just feel like not a lot of people crawl out of cages anymore. Now they have the pin and submission inside the cage. Like, give me somebody that has to climb over the top.
Yeah.
For okay. A third CC. It's a tie, I could say, of matches I could watch over and over. Hogan and Warrior, or the Iron Man of Bret and Shawn.
Yeah, they're good ones right there.
I've watched them both a few weeks. Like, I literally have watched the Iron Man match probably like 3 times a week back in the day. I would just like, I would turn it on and just fall asleep. Because growing up, I was in an attitude era, so falling, I would, you know, be tired, go have to go to school, so I'd fall asleep at like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, but I'd be falling asleep to JR and King,
yeah.
Or like Tony Khan and Larry Zbyszko. So every time I put them on, it triggers me, and I'm like, oh god, I'm sleeping.
Yeah, like when three matches of your favorites?
Involving you.
My triple threat match at Ring of Honor, the last match at Ring of Honor I did, so it was 2017. Damn, Ring of Honor, I know you're back. What up?
Yeah.
It was with Fox Vineyard versus Mikey Webb versus Cauliflower Brown, Kate Brown, triple threat, awesome, North Carolina. I got pyro, so like firework Fox Vineyard gets fireworks. What up? Second match would be Fox Vineyard defending his PPW No Limits Championship against King Leon the Fifth for Immortal Championship Wrestling in Schenectady, New York. That was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 4 years, I don't know, 2019 probably. And what else could I say? What's the third one? Here's the hard, that number three spot. I don't have one that sticks out in my mind like, yo, this one was really, really good. Because it's not on footage, but you guys know who Cloudy is?
Yes.
Yes.
I had a match with Cloudy in Bennington, Vermont for World of Hurt Wrestling, and it was Cloudy's first match in a long time, and he was a baby, I was a heel, and we killed it. He super kicked me so hard in the face, my brain, and it was awesome. And like, I was out in the park, he came running, jumping into my arms like an ex-girlfriend, and was like, yo, this match was so awesome. I haven't been so excited about a match. I was like, yo, this was a match. Match of my career right now. And then nobody filmed it. Oh. I was like, no. Dude, I was so like, hey man, our lives are over. We might as well just quit wrestling.
Oh gosh.
That one that filmed, I'll put on, it's not really like a favorite match, but it's a good match that I have watched repeatedly. And that is Fox Vineyard versus Punishment Martinez, currently known as Damian Priest at World of Hurt. We had a back and forth. It was the summer. So it was like, it was me versus him. He was top dog at Ring of Honor. And I was like, if I wrestled a good match with him, maybe I'll get booked at this next show at Ring of Honor. I did a good match with him. And then I got booked at Ring of Honor's Future of Honor, debuting against Eli Islam. Debuted against me, I should say. And then that match led to the first match I said, the triple threat. So like, it's kind of like all the same thing. But yeah, that Punisher Martinez match, Damian Priest, that match is pretty, it's a hard hitting match. Sucks that the video is only one camera angle from like far from a crowd, from a fan.
Yeah.
But it's just the strikes are hard hitting. Like, we did stuff. It was good.
Okay.
I'll go with those two.
So have you ever got any weird gifts or fan reactions to you? Anything weird? Because I know we get like weird things. The weirdest gift, we call it. Or fan reaction if they're just coming up weird.
Like, did anyone try to hit on me?
Like anything, like they give you any gifts or anything like that. Because we talked to Crazy Steve, and he said somebody in Australia gave him like shirts like XXL, and he's like so small, and he's like, he told her to stop sending him stuff because he's not that big.
I haven't gotten anything weird or like, here man, like I just wore these panties and you're mad, you know. A lot of like, because my fan base is either, it's a mix, it's either like the hardcore wrestling fan that's like, yo man, I really love what you do, this is awesome, you fucking kill it out there. Or it's like a young kid.
Okay.
Because
okay.
Fake passes. But a lot of these young kids out there, they come up and they have fan art. So I have gotten a couple things of fan art from. Those are pretty cool, but I haven't gotten anything weird yet. So nobody tried to give me anything weird. Nobody gave me a box with like a head in it.
What's in the box?
Yeah, got it.
I'm a big fan of pranks and ribs. They're like not bad pranks or anything like that. I was at a bar and I got the bartender to put apple juice in my friend's glass, thinking it was beer. So that kind of pranks, nothing like trying to hurt somebody, because you don't want to get canceled, and how this world is today, everybody wants to cancel you. But having a little fun, like, have you any, oh my gosh, I'm tongue-tied right there. Have you have any rib stories for us?
I'm not really one to play pranks on people, because I don't trust any of y'all mobiles out here. You know, because like, I feel like everyone tries to like, especially when you have to like spend the night with people you don't know, and you fall, so anxiety ridden of trying to fall asleep with, oh man, I don't know if this guy's gonna try to, you know, do this, or like, oh, put his hand in ice water or whatever bullshit. But like, I've done stuff like, we would go to like a dance club after shows and like, hey, can you request this guy to come up here and sing a song? And they'd be like, hey, generic Steve, come up here, you've been requested to sing your favorite song. They're like, what do I do? I don't know who this is, you know. But nothing really ribby. Back in the day, maybe it would be, but like, I would, just cause I don't want it done to me.
Yeah.
Like, is this the worst? Especially like last rib that was put to me, I didn't like it because they took my championship belt.
Oh.
And I'm like, all right, who took this? Because I have to go to the show tomorrow. This is that training and stuff. And I'm like, who did this? I'm not messing around. I don't want to deal with this. I don't have the time. I'm too old. fucking too broken, you know, but nothing like that. But I haven't had really nothing really good pranks, especially in the last like 5 years, because just like you said, people can't do pranks, even if it's like your friends, because they're like, yo man, this guy's an asshole on the road, he'll do this, he'll do that, you know?
Yeah,
definitely, yeah.
It's I like to prank, but it's always friendly pranks. When people prank me back, I just make it look like I'm like, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? Have fun with it. Like, I just started this new job, and all the guys around me trying to like see if I'm gonna break, and it's not gonna break. One kid thought, oh, I'm gonna play rap music, see if he's gonna get annoyed. I was like, dude, music's not gonna get me annoyed, man. Good luck with trying to do it. And one dude just keeps on calling me different names the whole time. Called me Shirley cool. The other day, and I'm like, oh, cool, dude. Don't call me Shirley. Yeah, right.
So yeah, I haven't had any like prank. But yeah, nothing really. I mean, like maybe like I would tell people, I would tell the finish was wrong. Or that's the only thing. That's the only ribs I would really do. Is like, say I'm working the one dude. I'm like, hey man, for anything we called, so she's called in the ring. And then they get nervous out there and like, oh. Now get him in a headlock and be like, now, all right, let's call. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, or being a part of Rumble and calling like spot after spot.
Like that was kind of a rib that happened to me when I was making my debut. The person I was wrestling was the promoter, and he was like, all right, yo, the finish is going to be a vertebraker. And I'm like, vertebraker? No way. I can't. No, man, no. And I was scared. I was like nervous. Like, oh, man, I got to do this vertebraker. I've never done it. I don't know how to take it. What if I die? And then it was like last minute. It was like, oh, I got you. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Try that on your debut, and you have like 70 of people of your family and friends there, and you're like, you don't know until like the last minute, like, hey, and they call the finish, and it's like, hey, they call a different move, and you're like, okay. Or they just say, stay down. You're like, okay, I'm losing. Okay, stay down.
So do you ever have a geek out moment?
I had tons.
A what?
A geek out moment. Just say, like, you saw somebody or something happened, and you were just, like, geeking out.
I mean, when I met Hulk Hogan, yeah.
How was that?
Do tell.
So the story, I went down to Orlando for an Evolve tryout. Then I went with William Regal and whoever it was. And then it was in Orlando, and Hogan was about to open his meat shop in Orlando. He had the Clearwater one, I think, but he was doing the autograph signing at like 5 o'clock at night or whatever. And it was like a meet and greet for him was like $150, and then it was like you get like 5 minutes to like sign whatever and talk or whatever. And I was like, all right, cool. So my brother picked me up from the airport, and I said, I want to go to Hogan's Meat Shop right now. I want to buy my ticket. I want to meet this motherfucker right now. I just met Bret Hart last week. I want to meet Hogan this week. And then we pull up, and it's closed. There's a few people hanging around, like, you know, like, but Jimmy Hart's walking around just in the parking lot, just Jimmy Harting it up. And then I go to the door, and the woman security guard is like, hey, we're not open yet. I said, I know, I can see the sign. And I'm like, I want to just get a ticket for the meet and greet. And she was like, okay, yeah, no problem. Hold on. And as I step into the door, she stiff arms me Heisman style right in the chest. I'm like, oh. She's like, sorry. And then grabbed her headset like a FBI agent and was like, he's on his way. He's coming. Step aside. I'm like, okay. So I'm standing there. So I got like, there's like a, you know, parking spaces on the curb and you're like 7-Eleven or whatever. So I'm in between these two cars, and here comes the SUV, pulls up. Hogan gets out. The Hulkster, brother. And he's like, look at all the people here. There was 10 of us just sitting in the parking lot. It was, I mean, granted, it was like 5 hours early than what he was supposed to be there, but he'd never been to the shop. He never saw inside.
Okay.
So he shakes everybody who's standing in line's hand. I'm sitting in between these two cars, pissing my pants, like, what do I do? So I'm like facing him, and he looks at me, says, come on over, brother. Or he says, like, get some, or something like that. And I reach my hand out, and of course, the only thing I can say, the only thing that can come out of my mouth, meaning the Hulk Hogan, of all Hulk Hogan, the Hulk Hogan, was, for life, brother. I said, for life, brother. Shook his hand. He said, shit, yeah. And I had, like, my eyes, I was in tears. My eyes were like, you know, like, oh my God, I just met the dude I want to meet for, you know what I mean? And I turn around to my brother, and I'm like, I don't need to pay for a ticket. I just genuinely met him without paying. It was like, he was excited to see people showing up, and he shook everyone's hand without, like, having to pay for it. Granted, now I'm like, I should have paid that money so I could have talked to him, but, like, just that moment, I was like, and it was so cool because I took it. We walked back to the car. I'm like looking at my hand, like, damn, I just met Hulk Hogan. Like, that's awesome. I'm like, do things to this hand right
now. Oh, I had the same feeling with Bret Hart.
Yeah, and like the best part about the whole story is my brother was like, check this out, and he happened to film or like take a picture, but my brother doesn't know how to shut the live off on the iPhone, so he accidentally got me a live picture of me shaking his hand.
Oh, that's so great.
Cool. That's still cool.
That is rude.
And I'm like, yeah. But yeah, like, and the week before, I did a big time wrestling show down in Poughkeepsie, New York, and Bret Hart was there, and I was wearing pink and black. And I go, Bret, like, I just, it's nice to meet you. I just want to let you know, like, I'm wearing pink and black because you're my favorite wrestler. And this is like kind of like always an homage to you. Even I sit on the ropes when I get in sometimes as an homage to you. And he's like, and my partner was like, can I get a picture? And he's like, yeah, I'll take a picture. I'm like, do you mind if I get one too? Like, I'm so nervous to ask Bret. He's just walking around like mean mugging the world. Talking about, you know, he's like my brother Rome, you know.
Oh my God. I met him at the Blue Rocks.
I'm like, Brett, can I get a picture? He's like, yep. Took a picture with him. 5 minutes later, he goes to the promo. I'm walking out like, yeah, I'm interrupting Bret Hart right now. He's like, hey, everyone, McKibbs, see this piece of shit right here? I'm like, Brett, I thought we were friends. But it was just a cool thing. And then I'm like, and then Hogan, I met the next week. And I was like, oh, all I needed to meet last is the Miz. The last guy I wanted.
Yeah, my big
gig. The last guy I wanted to meet since Real World.
Yeah, my big geek out moment was meeting Bam Bam Bigelow outside of Meet and Greet.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Oh, Bam Bam Bigelow. You should have told him that you loved him and made your paint.
Oh, so this is what happened. We were standing outside waiting for, you know, the meet and greet. And he comes out. He starts smoking a cigarette. He's about, like, 20 yards behind us. And my niece at the time, she was eating McDonald's fries. And she starts walking up. And we didn't notice she was walking away. And she was walking up to him, hands him a fry. And he looks down. And he's like, oh, I'll take that. Thank you. And he eats the fry from her. And we just, like, rush over to him. And we notice it was Bam Bam Bigelow. We're like, oh, my God. And so,
yeah, and then we got
in line and got up to him. He noticed us. He's like, "You're a McDonald's fry girl." So it was a pleasure and an honor to meet him.
It's so cool when you meet somebody that's like you're not paying to meet them.
So
I mean, it's always cool. It's always cool to pay to meet him. But I mean, like, isn't that genuine? Hey, like, I met Godfather and he was smoking his trees behind a dumpster at a show. I'm like, where are the hoes at? So I was spray painting the ring bell for TV. Like, hey, where are the hoes at, man? He's like, oh, you know, Vegas. Oh, cool. Okay, bye.
So my friend got my Bret Hart book autographed for me. So I framed it. I sent you a picture of it. I framed it inside pink and black outside. It's like my favorite thing in the world. And every time I showed him at Icons in Philly, and he started tearing up. He's like, thank you. I love it when fans do stuff for me like this. And it's like my whole career. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome hearing this. You know what I mean? Because I wanted to show him it, because I showed Teddy Hart the book before and he thought it was cool. And I showed Harry Smith and he's like, dude, that's an awesome piece. And it was fun, like, showing, like, the family members what I did to his book. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, Bret was always about fans.
Yeah.
And, like, making it so that, like, he was the... I mean, he's always about Bret Hart, too. It's not just a song or something. But he's always about, like, making it so that the fans have someone to look up to, something, you know?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to do two more questions. This is one serious thing that I noticed recently at wrestling shows and all that. Do you think referees should be medical trained if they're in the ring?
I mean, do they need to be? No, because most shows usually have a doctor and ambulance and stuff, medical staff at their shows.
That's mostly in Pennsylvania, not in Jersey.
Like, Pennsylvania, I know, does, like, New York, you need an ambulance or a fucking doctor, you need all this stuff. I don't think it's a requirement, but I think it's definitely a plus, because, like I said, you're a real referee in a sport. Like,
yeah.
You're there to, boom, one of the things, if you go back to the referee pet peeves we were talking about, when somebody gets hurt or looks like they're hurt and the ref doesn't get out of the ring or check on them or do anything to check on people during the match, even during the match, like, I have to sit there and scream, ref, ref! Like, they don't look at me. Like, pay attention, ref. Look at all wrestlers at all times. If they're sitting in the corner, look at them. They might need you to go over, even if it's just to be like, tell them to clothesline. Yeah. Or, hey, my head's on backwards. Can you help? You know what I mean?
Because, like, there's stuff I noticed. Like, I watched one of the wrestlers take a bad bump and the referee didn't do anything. And I'm like, wow. I know.
That also depends on the referee and how they're trained. Like I said, there's, like, if you got referee Kevin Quinn, he will check on you. He will fix the match for you. He will do everything. I tore my bicep off the bone in my match at Chaotic, and I went right over to Kevin right when it happened. I said, hey, man, I can't. I go, my arm is numb. And he took the time and he, like, stepped aside and, like, slowed down the pace of the match, let my opponent know, and he was there every step of the way. Kevin Quinn!
That's awesome. I need to look him up more. Like,
oh, yeah. He's one of the best referees in New England. He should be on television. He should be on the road. And he's just a good dude. And he's jacked more than most of the indie guys anyway. Kevin Quinn is a man. A man! And Ref Phil. Ref Phil from, he's out of Paul Roma School, I believe. That's where I met him, I believe. And he's amazing, too. He checks on everybody. He does everything. Doesn't know how to say my goddamn name right, but other than that.
Our last question for the night.
Oh, it's not one question.
It's five questions. So this is our five questions of doom. I can't do it. Dave does.
Hold on.
Stephen Adams here, and this is the final question for this episode of the 2300 Wrestling Podcast.
Five questions of doom.
These questions are non-wrestling related, so we had to have some fun, you know. So my co-host Dave Keener, he is a voice actor. He does the voices. He does everything, and it stinks when he's not here to do it. But we love doing
voice,
this.
Get into some voice acting. Come and do some voices. Hey Peter. Hey Peter. Hey, voice in the Kells Coast. Kells Coast. Kells voice. Yeah.
Oh. All right. Question number one. Favorite comedian.
Favorite comedian. It was Ozzy. And sorry for a long time, especially when he did Randy.
All right. Question number two.
Number two.
Favorite past video game console.
At video game console?
Yes.
I'm gonna go right to Nintendo 64 because I bought that on my birthday with my own motherfucking money. I cleaned out my garage that was like a hoarder's garage, and that whole summer, my brother's best friends who were twins, they spent the nights in the garage on our old dirty matches we found. My other friends came down and we played No Mercy, we played GoldenEye, we played Star Fox all the time.
Oh, I love Star Fox.
No odd job, no slap.
Did you ever play Perfect Dark?
What was it?
Perfect Dark?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that's... Do you still have your N64? Because I still have mine.
I still have my 64 with No Mercy, Attitude, and some other... Star Fox. I also have my Sega with, like, the Power Rangers fighting game.
Oh, that was the best fighting game on Sega.
Like, you gotta use the Megazord? Wait a minute.
64, I was playing Mario Kart a lot, especially, you know, smoking and watching Rainbow Road.
You know, I used to rent my friends, they used to rent a gameplay. It was like, remember that? They used to have, it was like Micro Machines game. It was like a race game, but you were like racing around, you could hit each other too. It was like Micro Machines. Then they had one, it was kind of Mario Kart, but just with VW bugs.
Yep, I remember
like,
that.
What the hell?
Was it ARC Pro-Am or something?
I think so.
I was literally big, like, Volkswagen Bugs was a game. But yeah, then there was another game, there was this game called like Construction or something, and you would just drive around and you like pick that bus, but there was like a hidden code where you could drive the 18 van. I love that. I can't think of the name.
Oh my gosh.
It was a yellow car.
Okay. I don't know the game, but I had to figure out and look for it.
I don't know. Construction something.
So, question number three. Rabbit season or duck season?
Rabbit season. Oh, wait. You're not asking me.
Huh? You, it's him.
I'll go with rabbit season because, you know, Daffy's the shit.
Yes, he is. My favorite Looney Tune. Like, I got the stuffed pop toys.
Question number four. Your dream car.
My dream car of all of the dream cars.
Yes.
It is a tie between the 89 Batmobile and the 18 van.
Nice.
I had a version of the 18 van. Not a version of it. I had a GMC small van, no windows, nothing in the back, only had two seats, front and passenger, and it had an orange strap at the side, and it was awesome. And then it died because I bought it for $700 and it lasted probably 2 years. It was awesome.
I love Kit too. Kit's on my list too.
Kit from Knight Rider?
Yes.
My brother built Kit from the ground up. Bought a Trans Am, built it completely up. He just finished it after putting like $26,000 into it with a black wrap to make, because it was red. It was a red version. It was awesome. And then he made it black. And then, 4 months ago, he went for a drive, just to take it for a drive. And being in Florida, some crazy ass bitch drove over the line with a U-Haul truck, and he smashed right into it, crushed the whole thing.
Damn. Oh. Did he have a picture of it?
Oh, yeah. It's all over. And, like, now it's sitting in his yard with no front because it's all smushed in. But this shit has, he put a push to start in, like, on the ceiling so, like, you could, you know, push to start or something, like, in the show. And he had the whole computer screen that had the app loaded, so it was Mr. Feeney saying, hello, Michael, when he opened the door and everything. Oh. It was an exact replica. Had the light in the front and every top of pull mobile and all the time.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds so awesome.
That's so sad.
Damn you, lady.
Because that was his favorite. That's his favorite thing of all time. Okay. And he spent years building.
I found the Hot Wheel car, and I was like, I have to buy this. And I had the Batmobile from 89, too. So,
like, if you play GTA 5, they have all the cars.
Yeah.
like the Knight Rider car shoots a parachute out, like the DeLorean, you can fly. There's a version of the Batmobile. It's the front of the Batmobile from 89 mixed with the Tumbler from the Nolan flick.
Okay.
Pretty cool. But then, like, Speed Racer, you have the 18 band and all this. So it's cool. That's the only way I can drive it. 89 Batmobile, amazing, and or the 18 band, which I didn't know that was black and gray until I was older. I was like, oh my God, I thought it was all black with red stripe. No, black, gray roof, gray top, and then thing.
Really? Wow. I thought it was red, too.
Yeah, I thought it was red, too.
Well, the stripes, but above the stripe, gray, so like the, from the top where the roof and like just above like where the stripe is, it's all gray, and the bottom of the van is black. I was like, well, go ahead, go look it up. You'll be like, wait a minute here. The toys made it all black with a red stripe, and that's why I was seeing it. But now toys are where they have both. Gray top.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, it's off.
There's somebody in my old town, Pennsylvania, driving around like a, looking like the Mystery Machine, driving around. But it says Munchies something on the side.
There's a restaurant by me, well, not, it's like 40 minutes up towards like Vermont. They have their logo on a replica 18 van. It was crazy. One day I was delivering tires and I went to this garage and I opened the door to get in and they're built and they had an 18 van. This thing was like shiny and everything. I go, whoa, 18 van? You're like, yeah, we're working on it. The next place I went to had a DeLorean. I said, what the hell is going on?
My one friend, he's part of the New Jersey Ghostbusters and the Delaware Ghostbusters. He like runs around with both of them and seeing them have the Echo on. And I'm like, this is so cool.
Zach replica of the original.
And then my friend runs around with people that have the Jurassic Park Jeeps. This is awesome. So I got one dude brought the Jurassic Park Jeep to his friend's wedding as a gift. So I'm in front of it, like taking pictures of it. I was a lot skinnier then.
That's pretty bad.
All right, let's get to the final question here. Question number 5. Favorite animated Disney movie?
One that I could watch over and over was always Lion King. The Lion King was the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen in my life. The actors, their performances, there was no emotion behind anything. Was not a fan.
Aladdin was one of my top ones too.
Lion King is my go-to. It's like one that I can remember everything as a kid. I feel I love Lion King. But like back in the day, like when I was in kindergarten, always would watch A Sword in the Stone.
There you go.
And I always remember the owl scene and like Hawk of the Eight, and then like the squirrel was like trying to bang him because he was a squirrel because he had to do a bell, and then he finally changes and he's like, I'm not a squirrel, and the poor little thing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this was great. I enjoyed this whole interview, and you're always welcome to come on anytime you want. When I always tell everybody that comes on for the 2300 Wrestling Podcast, you become part of the family, so welcome to the family.
Whoop.
We love that part. Yeah, like when I was at shows, it's like family, brother, all that stuff. It means so much, you know what I mean? Because you don't know who's out there that might have a bad life. If you, like, treat them like family, let's treat them like family. So, do you have any social media for the fans?
You can find me everywhere at Fox Vineyard, by Snapchat. Well, yeah, Fox Vineyard on Twitter, Fox Vineyard on YouTube, Fox Vineyard on Instagram. If you want to listen to my band, it's Zoo, Z-O-O, Green, G-R-E-E-N, Sick, S-I-X. You can get that on Spotify. Apple, YouTube, Pandora, TikTok, you don't stop, whatever you want. Wherever you can find music, type in Zoo Green Sick, you'll find my shit.
I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna put it in my own collection. I like getting stuff and putting it into my Uber and Lyft music list.
Yeah, if like you like hip hop punk, like, you know, like some pop punk stuff with some rapping in it, some breakdown, some new metal style stuff, let's go.
There you go.
Definitely check that out. Yep.
So we're gonna end the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. And this has been the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I'm Dave Keener alongside DB Richards, and we'll see you in the ring.
And we have here Fox Vineyard. Thank you for coming on the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Firework. Fox Vineyard, the Wham! Wrestler, actor, musician. And you're listening to the 2300 Wrestling Podcast.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Kinner from the 2300 Wrestling Podcast, letting you know about photographer, camera, editor, designer extraordinaire, Brian Schweiker. Please give him a call at 856-254-7546 for any of your photography needs. You can also reach him at bschweiker13@gmail.com, Facebook, and everything else is there as well. Get him for all your party, wrestling, movies, whatever you want to do. That's Brian Schweiker. Check him out.
Yeah!
Sam Alfalzi here.
And Zach Ravix.
Super Crazy Wrestling, Super Crazy Arena, Skid Row Academy. We are indeed the best facility in New Jersey. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, probably in the world. Extremely top three, I would say. We have very terrific trainers. Actually, they all come from the Ring of Honor Dojo, so yeah. You already know you're...
So they're going to be great, and they're definitely great.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You're going to experience some, you know, pretty elite stuff. You know, we're all about intensity here, you know. We're always here to help. We're always reach one, teach one. That's our main thing. You know, I feel like if you're a person that really feels like wrestling is your dream and that's what you want to accomplish, this is the best school to come to.
Or burn.
What Brack said.
So, once again, you know, best school probably in the world. Definitely in Jersey. You can find it. You can find it on Facebook, Super Crazy Wrestling and Skid Row Academy. And Instagram, Super Crazy Wrestling, Skid Row Academy. You can contact Melissa Pena or O-Dog. And he'll come find you if you don't find him.
Or I will.
Or
Brax.
Or Brax.
You won't burn.